The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner and Lee Phelps ready to deliver our verdicts on the two Capital One Cup semi-final second legs this midweek. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good, are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed, despite... Do we talk about the naps on this podcast?
Not when we lose. I think it's probably best that we just leave it alone.
I think we should.
Seeing as we were both losers. Derek absolutely nailed it. Only 5-1 Crystal Palace win. He's romping it now all of a sudden. Do you know what? I did think yesterday, DK, that I said on the podcast before the weekend that you got sucked in. You got sucked into my way of thinking.
I know.
Why did you deviate from what you say to me? You went for a goal scorer from a championship team. I mean, with all the will in the world.
League One team, even worse.
Sorry, League One team. With all the will in the world. You know, you prep the Premier League. You haven't got a clue about League One, have you, really?
No, I've not.
And I'm not, you know, I wouldn't be putting League One goals.
Hang on one second now. I've got reams and reams of paper for when I do the podcast on a Friday. I've brought those into the studio right now. And I had Aston Villa written down as my nap on that sheet of paper.
Right.
I know you can't. I know you're in an auxiliary studio right now, Lee, and you can't verify that.
Well, I mean, anyone
which
can
is
say that.
Which is convenient.
You could have just written Aston Villa down on that piece of paper. To be fair,
I could have done. I've had it time stamped actually.
I had all sorts written down on my piece of paper, but you know, you can't prove anything. Can
any of them? Were there any actual winners on that sheet?
Oh, there were loads. I mean, I had a winning nap on the league podcast. Let's not forget draw after 30 minutes in the Man City Borough game. That was like 17-20. Big price.
Yeah, we don't talk about the league podcast on this podcast. That's lower league action.
Yeah, true.
The only time we ever talk about lower league football is the FA Cup, and that's it.
Yeah, I think I
and obviously the League Cup, which we're going to discuss in a few moments' time.
I think you'll find the very first game of the FA Cup weekend as well. I called that one and the Saturday. I could go. It's boring for people. This looking back on.
Not just for people. For me as well. Not just normal people.
You asked the question.
Yeah, let's forget about that.
Yeah, let's
forget about
let's
that.
Let's look forward.
We will, and we've got two exciting second legs to come in the English Capital One Cup. We'll start off with the Tuesday night match, Chelsea versus Liverpool. Mm. Chelsea 8-13, the draw 13-5, Liverpool 5-1. Headline offers, Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win. In 90 minutes, remember, 5-2. Steven Gerrard to score and Liverpool to win in the 90 minutes, 16-1. What about that at the weekend? That is what I mentioned on in-play radio on Saturday afternoon. It's not once in a lifetime stuff. It's once in 10 lifetimes. Chelsea 2-0 up at Stamford Bridge against Bradford City. Lose 4-2.
Amazing.
Just inconceivable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, it's and you know, talking about that City Borough game, you know, City absolutely pummeled Borough's goal in the first half. I mean, keeper had played a blinder. They could easily have been 2, maybe 3 up. I didn't see the Chelsea game that way. You know, I know they went up early, and you know, from you know, routinely we see Chelsea go 2 up against top teams and shut them down, and that's it. All she wrote. Bradford just seemed to have this. Just they would not lay down. It was almost like whether they were 2-0 down or 6-0 down, they would have just kept coming at Chelsea and kept trying. But the quality of the goals as well, it was brilliant. You know, obviously we're based up in Leeds, and you know a lot of Bradford fans around here, and you know and friends who are Bradford fans, and they just had the day of their lives, just a phenomenal day. Whether they were there or not, they just absolutely loved it, and yeah, just brilliant. I mean, there's loads of little stories. I mean, Halliday who got the third, and which really kind of I suppose sealed the tie in a sense. He only signed like, you know, I think it was noon on the Friday. So, you know, that was a close run thing. So lots of nice little stories. I thought John Stead was absolutely brilliant. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's had his chance in the Premier League. Didn't go as well as maybe some expected. And he's been around the kind of Championship League One for a while now. And he's tended to play his football around Yorkshire. He's a Huddersfield player on loan at Bradford. But one of those performances where he looked every bit the Premier League player. You know, everything he got, he had control, he had time. It was just amazing. And of course, you know, you look at Chelsea, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether Mourinho said beforehand, the perfect thing for us would be to go out of the FA Cup for our Premier League title chances, but the players won't allow that to happen. You just wonder, don't you? If the, you know, we know who wears the trousers in that club, so you just wonder if maybe there was a percentage or 2% where they weren't quite.
Well, he's doing a good acting job subsequently though, isn't he?
Of course. I mean, he's great at that, isn't he? And he was very magnanimous after the event, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was just a good day all round for everyone. I think Chelsea included. I think when the dust settles, I don't think they'll be that bothered. I think if they win the Premier League and don't, you know, and haven't progressed in the FA Cup, I don't think they'll care one jot.
Okay, as far as this match is concerned, it's 8-13 Chelsea to win it. The draw 13-5, Liverpool 5-1. Just a quick reminder of what happened in the first leg. Liverpool went behind. Eden Hazard scored from the penalty spot after 18 minutes, and then Raheem Sterling on the stroke of the hour equalised, and Liverpool maybe deserved more from that game. They were dominant for large spells. It was an impressive Liverpool for performance as we've seen this season, arguably, Lee.
Yeah, it was. They've been getting better and better, though, haven't they? Week in, week out. You know, the results may not look spectacular, but everyone connected with Liverpool has said that they've been getting better and better. And you only have to watch them. And like you say, that game was probably, maybe arguably, with that game against Tottenham early in the season when Sturridge and Balotelli played together, when they won 3-0 away from home. Maybe that, you know, those two performances are the two best ones. Swansea 4-1 was great as well. Then the weekend comes, and you know, maybe it's just a step back for them. They did have an awful lot of shots, Liverpool, in the game against Bolton.
And bit of a look-ahead game as well, I think, that one.
Yeah, maybe just like, you know, maybe for Chelsea and Liverpool, taking their eyes off it a little bit. We're told, or you know, it's been intimated that Brendan Rodgers will go on the attack here, and that the team will just go for Chelsea. I think that's probably the best way to do it, because there's no point in sitting back against Chelsea and welcoming their attacks onto them. The defence just isn't good enough in my mind, despite the fact that they have been getting clean sheets against Bolton, one against Villa, one against Sunderland. Obviously, they conceded to Chelsea in the previous game was a penalty. I thought they looked quite assured. I think they will set up relatively strong defensively and look to break and hit Chelsea on the break. The thing is, Chelsea's home record, as long as they're not playing Bradford, is obviously very, very good. And you look at the home record against the top teams as well. I mean, this season already, beat Tottenham 3-0 at home, beat Arsenal 2-0. You know, obviously very strong team. You know, last year they beat Arsenal 6-0, Tottenham 4-0, they beat Liverpool 2-1, beat Man United 3-1, under Mourinho, of course. So they are a very strong team. Beat City at home last October. So, you know, they haven't lost to any of the top six clubs for a long time. And it's just a bit of a stretch to see them losing this. This competition's got it seems to have a special place in Mourinho's heart, doesn't it? You know, he won this competition in his first season with the club, and he always seems to pay it the respect it deserves. He does with most games, to be fair. I just find it hard to make a case for Liverpool. The only thing I like about Liverpool's chances is the price.
Yeah, 5-1.
It looks massive, doesn't it? But did Chelsea lose two successive games at home? I'm not sure. I think they'll bounce back from it. I just think by hook or by crook, they'll find a way. I just think, you know, look, on paper, they're a better team than Liverpool, obviously. On the pitch, they're a better team than Liverpool. You know, they've had consistency for most of the season. You know, Liverpool are, you know, the miles behind the league, obviously. I know they've been playing well recently, but I wish they weren't 5-1. I really wish they weren't 5-1, because it's making me want to back them. Even though I think Chelsea will win the game. The way I'd go with it is that I'd go with Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals in the match, because I do think they'll win the game, and I do think Liverpool will attack. Chelsea to win and both teams to score is 12-5 as well. You know, that's a good price. What I can't get
that looks like a better price than Chelsea in over 2.5, doesn't it, at 13-10?
Yeah, unless you think they're going to win to nil like they have done with every other top six side recently. You know, the Chelsea and over 2.5 landed against Spurs when they won 3-0, of course. So, that's the danger by going for the both teams to score bet, isn't it? That, you know, they do keep a clean sheet. Liverpool, You know, Liverpool failed to score against Bolton. What makes us think that they're going to score against Chelsea? They haven't been scoring many goals recently, Liverpool. It's not like, the flying. One against Chelsea, two against Villa, one against Sunderland, two against Wimbledon and struggled a little bit. Obviously, they got the four against Swansea, but one at Burnley. You know, it's not, they're not scoring loads. And I think Chelsea can easily score two at home against Liverpool. So, I'll go with the Chelsea to win. I think Liverpool will attack and will go for it. And I think they will get chances. So I'll go with the both teams to score against my better judgment. But, they really are. The traders are really trying to tempt us in with that 5-1. Mm. But apart from that price, there's nothing that makes me think they could... there's no reason, logically, why they should go to Chelsea and win. They couldn't beat them at home. Why would they go to Stamford Bridge and win?
Okay, Chelsea 8-13, draw 13-5, Liverpool 5-1 to qualify. Chelsea 1-3, Liverpool in the market at 9-4. The other semi-final is Sheffield United versus Tottenham. Sheffield United 7-2, the draw 5-2, Tottenham in the market at 4-5. In the first leg, Tottenham won at White Hart Lane. Only 1-0, though. Penalty from Andros Townsend in the 74th minute. Subsequently, Sheffield United got a replay against Preston North End, drawing with them 1-1 in the FA Cup at the weekend. And Tottenham were 1-0 up until the 83rd minute against Leicester City. But Leonardo Ochoa and Jeffrey Schlupp both scored. Schlupp, remember, couldn't make the Africa Cup of Nations through injury, and he's there playing against Tottenham in the FA Cup at the weekend and scoring the winning goal.
Same as Sacco for West Ham.
Yeah, same as Sacco for West Ham as well. Yeah, and disappointing for Tottenham to be knocked out of a competition in which they've got such a rich heritage. Really disappointing for them.
Yeah, I was surprised, I must admit. And you know, as regular listeners of The Pump will know, I've been a supporter of Leicester and Ochoa. I was kicking myself, you know. I love a stat, and I missed that stat about Ochoa having scored in every single FA Cup game he's ever played in for Brighton and for Leicester, and he kept up that amazing run. Obviously loves the competition. I was really surprised with Tottenham. Just shows that, you know, that they can't go through the gears. I think they just eased off a little bit against Leicester. Maybe thought the game was won and you know, got suckered in, and then couldn't hold back the tide, if you like. They shouldn't have any problem here. Shouldn't. But after this weekend, we shouldn't take anything for granted either, should we? Because, you know, lower league teams have obviously had a fantastic weekend. Sheffield United limited Spurs to very few chances in that first leg, and I don't see why we will see anything different here, to be honest with you. I imagine Nigel Clough will set his team up in a very similar way, won't be scared of, you know, of going in defensively just because they're at home. Be a great crowd, of course, at Bramall Lane on the Wednesday night. Unchanged, we're expecting from the first leg. Ben Davies has come back. He played against Preston in the draw in the FA Cup at the weekend, so he is available to play again. But just reading some of the local press, I think he'll give the same players another chance who played in the first leg there. It's just whether they can nick a goal, isn't it? That's the thing. I mean, the problem, you know, when you look at Tottenham were limited to few chances, but it's not like, you know, Sheffield United were battering the Spurs goal down or anything like that. So, you know, they'd have to nick one, and then it would be very nervy, I think, for Tottenham at Bramall Lane. It took him till, what was it, 74th minute when Andros Townsend got that penalty, and it was a daft penalty to give away as well. It's one of those where they could have easily got a clean sheet there and then taken them back. I thought Vorm looked susceptible at times. You know, I don't think he's looked fantastic in goal. I mean, he was brilliant when he was at Swansea. He looks a little bit rusty, like he hasn't had enough first team football. It's just how many, you know, in the first match, Sheffield United didn't have a single shot on target. Five shots wide. Spurs only had two on target, by the way. So I don't see Sheffield United having too many more opportunities than that. I'm going to go for a Tottenham win and under 2.5 goals here in normal time.
Okay.
That's 11-4. I can see the same thing happening, but the class eventually telling. What tends to happen, obviously, people know this, but, you know, they'll press, they'll harry Tottenham, they'll get after them. Tottenham will keep the ball as much as they possibly can. And I think around the same sort of time, they'll break through again because the legs do... to tire. You know, they've had a, you know, a tough FA Cup draw against Preston as well, and I think Tottenham will just keep the ball. They'll try and wear the blades out, and once the blades legs start to go and the concentration starts to dip, I think we'll have it'll be another late winner or two for Tottenham. So you know, goal market, if you're looking in play and it's still 0-0 around the 60 minutes, I'd be playing Spurs then for definite. I'd also be playing the goal in the last kind of 15 minutes as well. You can have all that kind of bet. I mean, you know, you've got 60-minute betting, the draw 6-4. 75-minute betting, the draw still at there, 19-10. You know, Spurs, you know, you'd only been a minute away from landing that bet, of course, in the first leg. But all the goal time markets are available. There's loads there. 76th minute to full time. First Sheffield United goal, 7-1. At the time of first Tottenham goal, 76th to full time, 8-1, DK.
Mm.
You know, if it does go the same way, then that's not a bad price at all, you know.
You can back it just 2-1 for them to score in that period as well. 76 minutes to full time doesn't have to be the first goal though.
In fact, do you know what I'd probably go for here? If we're set up the same way, if you think it's going to happen the same way, 61st minute and over, Tottenham's first goal, 4-1.
Okay,
not bad at all that. You know, I think Blades will. I don't think they'll attack. I mean, I know Spurs kind of had to attack more in the first leg, and it's easier for an away team to sit back than it is for a home team. But I don't think the Blades will mind sitting back at home against Tottenham here and batting down the hatches and trying to nick a goal.
Just to put these prices into context, Sheffield United 7-2 to win the match. The draw 5-2. Tottenham 4-5.
Unbelievable.
They're almost identical prices to Sheffield United's home match against Southampton in this competition in the last round. Remember that match? Southampton were going through that really bad spell and Sheffield United beat them 1-0.
Yeah.
These prices are almost identical. The question is, obviously Southampton beaten on that occasion, did they deserve to be as short as Tottenham are now or vice versa? Should Tottenham be shorter or longer than Southampton were back then?
Yeah, they should be shorter in my opinion.
Okay.
I think anyway. I mean, you know, we all know Tottenham have got their issues. You know, they're not the strongest team in terms of, you know, midfield and how, you know, strong they are, you know, mentally as well. But, you know, that obviously, you know, you don't need me to say that a Premier League team at 4-5 to beat a League One team, even on their ground, I mean, that's a great price. But I do think it'll be tight. I do think Sheffield United will adopt the same sort of tactic. You know, they don't give an awful lot away at home. You know, they conceded the one against Preston in the league. They played Preston a couple of weeks ago in the league. One against them, one against Walsall, one against MK Dons. Very rare that they concede more than one goal at Bramall Lane. In fact, I think it's only happened a couple of times this season. Once against Bristol City, which is no massive shame, and once against Leyton Orient, which is a bit of a shame. So they will, you know, no qualms about them keeping it tight, but Tottenham to get it done eventually.
Under 2.5 goals, only slight favourite in the market, 4-5 under 2.5 goals, over 2.5 goals is 19-20. So pretty strong on the under 2.5 goals there, Lee.
Yeah, with the Tottenham win thrown in as well, I think. Yeah. Midweek's my time, DK, isn't it? As you know, weekends. People, you know,
there's got to be a lot of people
make out that the weekend is the big time for betting. I think midweek's coming up the rails. I think midweek's the new weekend.
I think midweek is being whipped furiously just to try and get on terms with the weekend. Actually,
I need a winner this weekend. I really do need a winning nap this weekend. I'm going back to basics.
Well, I'm not offering up an app unless it's in the Premier League in future. That's a new rule.
That's fair enough. I've got to give a little mention to one of our listeners, avid listeners, with a fantastic name on Twitter, Handsome Plumber. He's a regular listener, regular tweeter to us as well, and he pointed out that I tongue in cheek said that I should go for Chelsea just to get the tenner back on the naps. Imagine if I'd done that. I would have had to resign.
That would have been the best thing that's ever happened on the Punt podcast, I think.
I think I would have had to resign.
Yeah.
So last of the Brohicans. Thanks for pointing that out.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Cheers, DK.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and check us out on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well. And the more prevalent Punt podcast, the one at the weekend, will be out on Friday afternoon as well. Thank you for listening, folks, and we'll be back very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.